This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 167. This episode features Rencore, one of the sponsors of the podcast. Hello, everyone. This is AC. In this episode, we're going to feature Rencore, one of the new sponsors of the podcast. We wanted to sit down and learn a little bit more about Rencore, and we wanted to share with our listeners who Rencore is and what they're all about. So we sat down with two of the people that are heavily involved with Rencore, including their founder, Matthias, at the MVP Summit recently in Seattle. So I'm going to go ahead and play that interview, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, this is Andrew. I'm sitting here today with one of our newest sponsors of the podcast, sitting with a couple of guys here from Rencore. So before we dive into this and start talking about who Rencore is, why don't you guys introduce yourselves first?
Hey, this is Matthias Anik, MVP at Rencore, CEO running the company. Yeah, I've been doing SharePoint for 9 years now, or 10, something around that. So quite long in that area.
Hi, my name is Hadek. I am Office Development MVP since 8 years now. I've been doing SharePoint since late 2006, and now I am part of the Rencore team.
You say I'm Waldeck, but it's like everyone, if you don't know who Waldeck is, it's Waldeck MasterCars. Okay,
yes, make sure
you got to say the last name in there, right? I'm sure the SharePoint people that are listening to this know who that is. I don't know any other Waldecks.
There you go.
So, Matthias, we were sitting down, maybe a couple years ago in 2012, 2013, late 2013, I think. We were on a boat. This is starting to sound a little disturbing, right? No, we were on a boat at a conference in the Baltic Sea or one of the, no, the...
Oh, it was Stockholm.
Stockholm, that's right. We were in Stockholm, but going between Stockholm and Helsinki. And you were telling me about a product you were going to launch and stuff. So this is, you guys have come quite a long way and been quite successful over the last few years. And so what CJ and I wanted to do is we wanted to sit down and have a little chat with you and share with our listeners, you know, who is Rencore? What do you guys do? And really get the word out a little bit here, because it's because, you know, we really appreciate you being a sponsor for the show, but really do believe in what you guys are doing. So we want to share that with you. So with our listeners. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Rencore? Tell me the background from it. You know, who is Rencore? Why should people be aware of it?
All right. So Rencore, we are an ISV. So we develop software and sell it as a product. And we basically focus on everything in regards of customizations in the SharePoint and Office development space. So whatever you're developing, you can use our tools that help you to make those customizations better, to improve the quality, to check if they are compliant to your company's policies and things like that.
Awesome. So you also do stuff like code governance and stuff like that to make sure everything's nice and clean. You're following the guidelines and all the same kind of rules. It's kind of, you have a couple different products that you offer to your customers, right? And one of them today is SPCAF. That's probably the one that I think most people are going to be, if familiar with Rencore, you're familiar with SPCAF. You might even be more familiar with SPCAF than you are with Rencore. So, which works. I mean, it works as a brand on its own. So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about, you know, what is SPCAF? Why should people be aware of this? Who is this for?
Yeah, so SPCAF is you can think of it as a tool set that helps you ensure that everything that you build adheres to your policies, governance plan, best practices, performance rules, all of that. And it's really broad. So what you can think about it is often people have a governance plan that determines, that describes how things should be like. But often, they don't have a way to actually enforce that. So they deploy stuff, or they think that they have rules in place, but they actually don't play by them. So they deploy stuff to production, and then it runs. And only as an afterthought, there's like, oh, yeah, so we didn't know that we had this, or we didn't know that it worked that way, right? So with SPCAF, we offer people ability to enforce the governance plan that they have actually in real life throughout the whole ALM cycle. So from development throughout deployment, UAT, and production, so that the governance plan is not an afterthought.
I see. So it's not so much just writing a document and sitting down in a meeting room with all the developers and saying, all right, this is what we're going to conform to. This is actually a way to have a repeatable process to actually make sure and enforce true policies and give me a green or a red if this build is not, if it doesn't meet the governance policies.
Absolutely.
Throws a red build, you know, it's actually a failed build or something like that?
Yes, yes. And that works with developer tools that you have. This works with VSTS in your builds, in deployments. So everywhere where the things are that you build, we are too. We help you check that everywhere.
You see it, I can see it maybe a little bit as an insurance. So the companies usually invest a lot of money in planning and implementing their customizations on the SharePoint platform or on Office 365. But at the end, there will always be some things that go wrong. And once the things are in production, then it is quite costly to actually find the issues that go wrong, maybe security issues, performance issues, quality issues, fix those issues and then redeploy them. That will cause downtimes for your end users maybe as well. And basically using SPCAF in your development process, in your application lifecycle management process, help you to prevent basically bad things from happening and save time at the end.
I see. So it sounds like, so to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but SPCAF sounds a lot like a tool that .NET developers are going to be familiar with called FXCop, to where it can go through and look at certain kind of rules and do code analysis on every time I do a build and make sure things are good. But what you guys are doing is adding in extra analytics that more on the SharePoint side as well, for SharePoint customizations. Is that accurate? Or?
Well, actually, FXCop is the first part, right? So that's development time analysis. Mm. And then we also check whatever you have built. So think a quality gate or think build. Right, so also additional tools, and that do not only focus on the code part, but also, for example, that imagine that you would have a rule in your plan that says that a feature should be named like according to this pattern. So we help you enforce that. Mm. And we have also an SDK that people can use to build their own rules that actually match their plan, right? Because that's the only way that you can enforce your plan, because that's plan for your org, right?
Sure.
Right. So with that, we allow people to build their own rules that match their needs.
And it goes maybe even a step further. So it's not just about analyzing the code itself, but the quality and your policies that you have set up in the organization. But also, let's say if you're, for example, in the process of migrating from one SharePoint version to another, or from on-prem into the cloud, or if you're just refactoring customizations or try to implement new requirements, then it helps you also to understand the customizations that have been built, maybe by a different supplier, where maybe the source code is no longer available. So you can drop that into SPCAF, you get a dependency analysis, you get metrics, what kind of customizations are inside. Yeah. You get an inventory, which helps you to troubleshoot all of the customizations and help you basically on the process to get to the next level with the existing investments that you have already made in your organization.
Wow, that's interesting. That's really cool. So you guys have done a lot of work around tools, around some of the like SharePoint framework things that we've done, not SharePoint framework, and SharePoint solutions that we've built in the past, like WSPs and stuff like that, right? Inspecting like sandbox solutions, farm solutions and stuff. And today we're looking at, you know, the emergence of a new development pattern. I guess that's a bit controversial to say, but I'm going to say it's a new development pattern for around the SharePoint framework. It's a new way to build customizations here. So are you guys doing anything around SharePoint framework? Are you looking at it in any ways on how SPCAF can help you with SharePoint framework style development as well?
Yeah, so just the other day, we released a new version of SPCAF that actually supports analysis of SPFX. We had early access on it, and that basically gave us ability to look at the way it works. Because as you said, it's a whole new thing. It works unlike anything else that we had up to now. So you have to think about things like Gulp, NPM, Node.js, JavaScript, a new toolset, new toolchain, new project, new approach to it. So we needed the time to actually figure out like what's the best way for us to help people analyze the solutions as well. And just the other, we extended SPCAF with analysis of SPFX. And now we also put analysis from VS Code and Gulp. So that we integrate with the natural flow, if you will, of how developers work with these projects and also the way they are built. Because there are no WSPs anymore, there is no cab, it's all built differently, so we support that.
So when you said, too, you released it over in the last week or so, we're recording this in early November 2016.
Yes.
So this is something that as you guys are listening, as our listeners are listening to this today, this is something they can go take a look at today. I mean, SharePoint framework is early, so I'm sure that there's going to be revisions coming out and stuff to what you guys are working on. But just for context, that we're looking like the second week of November 2016.
That's correct.
Maybe something I would like to add. So that's correct. Yeah.
So I'm like, I know what day it is.
Yeah. Oh, God. Do you? No. But something like, maybe to add also with the new SharePoint framework, there's also comes a lot of flexibility now, although Microsoft gives you a direction where it goes, but at the end, you can decide as a developer, do I do that in React or in Angular or with whatever else? And from an enterprise perspective, this might be not necessarily what you desire. You want to have a standard somehow, and SPCAF can help you to enforce that standard that all your developers, maybe different suppliers, can use actually the same policies in your organization to build those customizations, despite the framework being way more flexible.
That's really cool.
Yeah, an interesting thing is that in the past, when we used to build WSPs, the best approach was to build everything in a way that you would integrate as much as you could with SharePoint. So we would build timer jobs, we would build custom databases, just to get as tight as we could. Mm-hmm. Whereas now with SPFX, the only thing that you actually deploy to your sites is a manifest that points to a URL somewhere on the internet, right?
Yeah.
So as admin, you have no idea where the web portal lives, what's the governance plan around it, how it's maintained, who has the right to update it, and you have no idea what the web portal does because that code lives somewhere at a URL.
Yeah.
So with that, we, with our rules, with our analysis, we give you insight as to where the web portal lives. And with that, based on the location, you can have, think of a whitelist that you can say, if you want to deploy a web portal to our farm, it has to live at these URLs because anything else, we don't trust it because we don't know who manages it.
Right.
Right. So with that, we give you more overview what you actually put into your farm because these web parts run under full trust in a way. So whatever you can do, these web parts can do too. Mm. So you have to really know really good like what they do exactly, and we help you with that.
I see. So aside from the stuff that you guys have done with SPCAF, what you've done, what you're working on with the SharePoint framework, you guys have another thing that you've kind of been working on too lately, right? It's the SP Transformer, is that right?
SP Transformator, yes.
SharePoint. It's so new, I don't even have the name right.
Yeah, it's actually the pretty new. Yeah, we were a little bit scared about getting sued by Hollywood, so we thought, okay, don't call it Transformer, call it Transformator, you never know. Yeah. The SharePoint Transformator is an entirely new tool, and we're very excited that we're releasing it now. As we have been working on it for the last 1.5 years already, and it basically uses the same analysis engine that also SPCAF uses, so focuses on a different task, and especially on the task that you have invested a lot of money and time in building your legacy, I call it legacy now, SharePoint customizations, WSPs, farm solutions, sandbox solutions, and somehow don't want to throw everything away and start from scratch again. So the ASP Transformator is actually helping you with the entire process of getting your existing investment that you have already made in SharePoint into the new development approaches like add-in model, like PowerShell maybe, or SharePoint framework. So Transformator is doing basically several things. And the first step, it helps you to discover basically what customizations are out there in your SharePoint environment. So it is analyzing your entire SharePoint environment, fetches the customizations that are there, maybe some that you're not even aware of, like somebody changed a page with SharePoint Designer or created a SharePoint Designer workflow or modified a list template or a content type in a specific site collection. So the first step is to discover basically what's out there and how is it used, what is the actual usage of the customizations to decide where do I have to invest time and money to do a transformation.
I see.
When you're at that step and when you have discovered, okay, this is something we need to transform, let's say, to Office 365 and you don't have farm solutions in Office 365, as we all know.
Right.
Then the next step is to get your team ready. So based on what we have found in those customizations, we gather together training content which helps you to understand for those artifacts that inside of your customizations that we have found, help you, how are they going to be transformed to add-in model or SharePoint framework and so on.
Yeah, and actually the great part about that is that all of that is also tied to your role and to what you already know. So imagine that you are an architect, right? So you can just pick, I am an architect and I know that much. So you will see only the stuff that you have to learn. So that way you can be really efficient about getting up to speed on your work specifically to that project.
So
you don't have to learn everything at once. You just pick the elements that you are going to migrate and you learn specifically for your role based on what you know already and what you need to learn in order to do that effectively.
That's a really interesting approach to this. So, okay, let me make sure I understand this. So if I have a project today and I want to go through and migrate this to, say, SharePoint framework, or I'm going to migrate to SharePoint framework, I want to see what's involved in this process, right? Well, today I would go to like a couple sessions at a conference or go watch a bunch of videos somewhere or go train, go get a course from some vendor and go learn all this stuff to try and figure out what is this whole thing and how does it fit into my project. But what you're saying is that this can actually look at my project and the migration say, you don't need to worry about X, Y, and Z. You just need to worry about A, B, and C part of this thing. That's what you're only using. So that's the only part you really are looking to migrate. There may be other features that you can take advantage of and other stuff. But if we're talking just migration, this is what you got to focus on to be successful.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a really cool way of doing it.
And if you think about it, about the first step, if you would do it by yourself, the first step is to actually get that overview, what's exactly in it.
Yeah.
And if you think about WSPs, like, oh, yeah, so you have to break them open and go like step by step through it because you might have dogs, but there's always a risk that they are not up to date.
Wait, that doesn't happen, really.
Exactly.
Come on, dogs are always current.
Exactly, right? So with that, you really have to spend hours or even days going through all your WSPs and all the things that you want to move from on-premises to online to get an overview of what's there, investigate that, determine for each thing, like how complex is that, whether you are going to migrate that or not, because that's a legacy thing. So you would have to go through all of that only before you can go to events, sessions, and then pick the things that you have to learn.
Awesome.
So once you have basically your readiness achieved in order to move forward, then the next step in the tool or in the entire process is that you plan what needs to be actually transformed. Because even though you have this customization there, it doesn't mean that you need everything of that. So what we do is we basically show you all the artifacts and all the code artifacts and declarative code artifacts that are in there, let's say content types, list definitions, event receivers, and all that stuff. We list that all for you in a Kanban board where you see cards for every item that you have. You get an indication how complex they are. So we give you a complexity index for each of those parts, like depending, for example, how many dependencies to other components there are. And based on that, you can plan in that Kanban board which of those components you actually want to transform, which you are going to abandon, which you are unsure at the moment.
Yeah, maybe do a complete rewrite.
And you can also, based on the dependencies that we show you, can define, for example, that multiple components belong together to a business case. So you can drop multiple cards together, build a business case, and say, for example, this web part requires that one content type and this page layout, and those things belong together, and doesn't make sense only to transform one of those. I have to transform all of them together. So that's the next step. That's the planning stage. And we even allow you to export that planned content into an Excel sheet. So where you can go with that Excel sheet to your business and tick off, do you really need that component? What is that going? What is going on there? Can maybe get feedback also without using the tool, give that to a business analyst, for example,
who goes
out there, and get that feedback back into the tool. Once you are there, then you can start with the actual development process or the transformation process at the end. And we have a very clever guy in our team, Irvin van Hoonen, also an MVP and a certified master in SharePoint. Mm-hmm. And he basically built automatic transformations into various target languages, let's call it like that. So everything that you have chosen, what you want to transform, you can basically see the original code, whatever it was, .NET code, XML code, JavaScript code, or whatever, and can choose which target language or target implementation you're looking for. So let's say you have a content type, you get an implementation of exactly that content type automatically generated in CSUM, in JSON, in REST, in Patterns and Practices CSUM, and Patterns and Practices PowerShell, in normal PowerShell, or for SPFX, for example, if you have built visual web parts, we convert the visual part also for SPFX automatically for you. So it will save you quite a lot of time because you do not focus on the actual re-implementation of the same thing,
right?
But rather on how do you assemble those different components in your upcoming project. So you build a new project, you take those parts, and put them together again in the new project, in the new development approach.
I can see where someone would even use this as a way to learn the new framework.
True.
Because you could take this and really easily see, all right, this or whatever you're working on, but you take an existing project, you run it through the process, you see the results that come out of it, you see the plan, and it's like, well, here's what you're, this thing that you've created, it maps to this thing inside of, say, SharePoint framework. So you can really get a really good feel for like, oh, now I can visualize it more. When you're trying to pick up a brand new concept as a developer, sometimes it's like, it's going to be, you say, I'm going to get this widget. And you're like, what is that thing? How would I use that? Like, what scenario? I mean, we're sitting here, we've sat in some sessions this week together, and we've seen some things discussed. And I remember, you know, one or two times you see it and like going, is this when I would want to do something like X and I would use this to do that. And okay, now I get it. Your tool kind of is doing that for you, right? It's kind of like this is helping you learn the new framework as well.
Exactly. And we're not telling you have to do it this or that way. We basically give you all the implementations of that specific artifact.
And
we give you a recommendation, but you choose basically, hey, we are going to provision our content types now with PowerShell and we use the PNP PowerShell commandlets for that. Or you want to do that with JavaScript. That's your choice, basically. But the major advantage is if you have a development team of multiple developers, you can assure that everybody is using the same development approach and also implements it the same way, because it's recreatable and you can just redo it, reproduce it again and again, even if the next transformation project comes maybe half a year from now.
Yeah.
And you can also, let's say, things change in the APIs. We constantly update that. You can go back and get that updated code chunk, maybe for the changed API, replace that in your current project, and then can redo the things if necessary. So you do not have to take care of those things.
That's really cool. I can see that being very valuable for a lot of organizations. So that's available today, you're saying, like that?
Yeah.
So middle of November 2016?
Yeah.
Awesome. So let me ask you this. So where's Rencore going? What's the future hold for you guys? Like, what kinds of things are you looking at to, you know, go forward? And there's, don't want to sit there and spoil all the company plans and everything here for all the competition to see, but, you know, what can you share with our listeners that
take over the world?
Oh, that's interesting. Making SharePoint great again?
Yeah, exactly. Don't say that. No. Yeah, SharePoint is already getting great, even greater than it was. No, it's...
We'll get back on track.
We're pretty excited how things are developing. Also, things that we have heard this week at Summit. Really cool things coming ahead and really exciting for us. So our plan is, of course, to expand in the entire office development space as well. Mm. So to give similar capabilities of our tools also in other areas, because you have the same problems everywhere. You have the standardization and code quality and so on, also in office development. And we're planning to go into Graph as well and so on. And you have also the transformation efforts. If you look at, for example, macros or add-ins and things like that in Office, those things are also all changing into...
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity there as well, yeah.
So this is one of the areas where we are going. The other area we are going, bringing everything to the cloud. So a lot of our customers ask us, okay, can we use your tools also in the cloud?
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that as well, to have the tools available in the cloud that you do not need to install anything.
Selling like SPCAF or Transformator to like a software as a service based thing?
Exactly. TAS.
There you go.
Coin.
There are plenty of other things coming up. We're working on another product, which will most likely get out in spring next year, but I'm not going to say anything about that.
That's
under NDA.
We can do that. We can come back and we can do another interview
but
on that one.
That's also going to be very exciting for many organizations. And again, we are primarily focusing on the enterprise market. So exactly the challenges that we came to know through our own consulting times. We have all been consultants in very large organizations. Exactly those challenges we want to tackle in the customization space.
Gotcha. Awesome. Well, hey, if somebody wants to learn more about Rencore, where would you send them? What's the call to action? What kinds of things? Where would you send them?
Just go to rencore.com.
Rencore.com.
That's where you go. There, from there, you can get to all our products and get all the information you need. Very active blog. Waldeck is one of our most active bloggers here.
I should say so.
Yeah. We also provide a lot of guidance, a lot of help. We're very active also in the community, organize our own events and so on, and help also other people to learn, not only about our products, but in general to learn how to do things in the changing Microsoft development space, let's say it like that.
Mm, awesome. Well, hey, thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you sitting down with us, and hope our listeners got a lot out of this too.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Did you like this episode? Send us a tweet about it and drop us a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show. We'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a wave or an MP3 and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Air by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com. Where you'll also find show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.